Hello, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio and to the Sum of Us. My name is Alisa.
My name is Liz. And welcome to our Halloween special.
Okay, that's spooky.
Ooh, scary.
Ooh. Honey, every day is Halloween in these streets. Every day. Every day. This is no day is any different from the next. No, that's it. Bye. Okay. Enjoy the show. It's done. That's it. Yep. I far more appreciate Dia de los Muertos than freaking Halloween. At least, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Anyway,
that's a cool tradition. That one's definitely a cool tradition.
I love me a cool. Yes, I have a very eclectic altar in my bedroom, and one of the centerpieces is a small, like, ceramic sugar skull. Because it's like on your altar, you're not going to have a jack-o'-lantern like 365, you know, you're just not going to do that. But I would have my little sugar skull replica. It fits right in with all the other, you know, assorted deities and whatnot that I have up there. So, I guess one perk of Halloween is, or November 1st, Dia de los Muertos, is when you go to the store and you see the Halloween candy, and the Halloween candy is half price. There you go.
That's a perk.
That's a perk. Just saying.
I've seen more and more people, at least it seems on my Facebook feed, that are saying, if you are a Christian, you don't need to be celebrating Halloween. Like, it's not even a church sponsored, you know, trunk or treat type thing. Like, it's all, you know, evil. Like, wow. All right.
Oh my God. So now they're bringing back like the paganism aspect. What happened to kids having fun, like dressing up and getting candy?
Yeah, it's
they're going to the roots of, oh wow.
So, yeah, I mean, and it's pretty extreme. I think it's extreme. I think there are so many times that how many times has the Christian religion taken over a pagan holiday?
Oh yeah, well look at all these colonization, mm-hmm. missionaries. Yeah, ooh. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about that, you know, you being, you know, your roots are Filipino. Yeah, all of that.
So
yeah,
it's...
all of that. Yeah,
you know, it's just interesting where the tide of events have taken us. It's, I guess it's, you know, it's just a natural process to go from... And I remember this as my high school teacher, my English teacher from our gifted and talented English class. You know, she taught, we had like English and history or something like that. And she was one of the teachers in that block. And she would say, you know, that you will see in these cycles of extremes, you know, the pendulum will swing from one direction to the other, and you'll just notice that those are things that come from having been on the other side of it, and then as trends change, or maybe as we evolve. And she didn't even say it that way, but that's what I got from it, was that
of course
this is why you have these extremes. But you'll experience them. And she's like, right now you're really young, you know, there are things that you don't consider because it's just not your time to consider it. But when it is time, you might feel very differently on a matter. And we're like, oh, okay. I mean, I thought it was kind of cool. But you know, so this is what I've seen, and it's true. Mm-hmm. You know, when we go through, what was it? And this is still part of it, you know, that whole, you know, that's not politically correct. You know, that whole PC movement, which a lot of people felt very stifled because I'm just trying to say this, you know.
Right.
Yeah, but you can't say it, you know, you can't say it that way. And even that, so you can't say it. Well, meaning more like you really shouldn't say it because it's insensitive. Maybe you can find another way to describe without your biases and your prejudices. Is there a way to describe this person or this situation? And so it's like this check on your attitude. And no one likes to be called out on anything. You don't want to be called out on a behavior or to be criticized. So I feel like we're now on that tail end of, maybe not even the tail end, I don't even know when it's supposed to end, but we've gone through this whole, well, you can't do this and that's insensitive, and as a result we've had a few decades, maybe a decade or two of people feeling like they'll get jumped on for and criticized for saying something, but it doesn't mean they're not thinking it, right? It doesn't mean those things are still there.
Behind closed doors.
Now it's interesting that the candidate that has to me bewilderingly taken so many people for this, he's a good guy. I'm like, okay, but but it really does go deeper with what we've been talking about overall. Not everything is as it seems, and I'm not saying that he's definitely a saint. It's more of, what does that say about us when there's a figure who represents somebody he can seemingly get away with
anything.
anything
at this point, really.
You can get away with it with no repercussions. And that's a let's just put it this way. So we talked about the allegory of the cave the other show, last show with Plato. And there's another concept, and I don't know if it's Plato or Aristotle, but around that same, that same philosophizing type of way, but it's called the Ring of Gyges. And it's basically a ring that grants you invisibility. And so if you have and if you didn't, if you had this ring, what would you do? Because now no one can see you. Now there are no repercussions. How would you act?
Mm-hmm.
And most people, I could get away with anything. I can do whatever. And so that just speaks to, where is your moral compass? And, would you use it not for your own benefit, but, what would you use it for? If you had that superpower, what would you use it for? And most of us, I think, would be like, I'm going to go to the candy store. I'm going to eat whatever I want. I'm going to do whatever I want. It's whatever you want. And that's what we tend to attribute as freedom. I get to do whatever I want, but it's not. It's not freedom.
No.
The book that we're reading, which is now, it's on the dining room table. the book we're reading talks about freedom. It's not about just doing whatever you want. It's about being free from the thoughts. Free from, all these inner things that the things that make you tick. Free from being in this particular form and being bound to it with all the limitations and all the things that you think about to break those limitations, but you're still in this body. That was the gist of it. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So if you had that ring, you would still act as you do. Maybe that's as I'm making this connection, maybe that is like it, when you have the ring and you have no no one can see you, it's like you have no form. So if you have no form, no body, then you just you're not limited in that sense that, oh well, I have to wear clothes, or I have to, you know, there's like little things like that, but ultimately, you know, what is your character? Would you wreak havoc because you can get away with it, or, you know, would you still be that same being of love and compassion, and just choose differently in any situation now that you don't have this form? You know, would you still try to impede somebody? Would you do exact revenge, which you have to get all of that out of your system? Because then you'd still, maybe if you were to do that, you'd also see the repercussions of those actions. Whereas, you know, a lot of times when we're, you know, when we're in our human form and we do something, we go, let me just get away. You know, like, I'm done. Step away. But you don't see what you've, what your actions have done to that person or with that situation, how it affects everything else around you. And that was the whole point in this book,
right,
we're reading, is that whatever you do to somebody else, you do to yourself.
Yep.
So,
amen.
Anyway, well, that was philosophy minute for me. Sorry.
Yes, the philosophy corner.
Think about it.
Yep.
But don't think too much.
Think about it now. Right. Oh, my God. That's funny. No, it's true. Yeah. And, freedom does not mean, you know, to just be gluttonous and indulge. But I think with so much progress, with everything, it's a duality. So much progress, we're going to see the embodiment of the fear. We're going to see the embodiment of the resistance, you know, and it's at such a critical mass right now. I mean, the election is next week. People are voting early, left and right.
Mm-hmm.
I did that the other day.
Yay.
It's so important. Yay, of course. And it's like hitting critical mass. And I think it's just so obvious and so simplistic, where progress is pressing on, I think, maybe at a quantum level. And there's always been like this just underground, now it's hitting the surface, this underground, and it's these patterns and these cycles, like your teacher had described, where things that, you know, it's a pendulum, but nonetheless the progress still presses on, but it will be met with, to the degree that it's still being consistent at a quantum level. And then you look at how distorted and how extreme the resistance is, because that's all right. That it reeks of insanity. It's a distortion of perception at a mass level. It is all fear-based. It is arrogant, and it's massive chronic resistance and fear of the new or the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of suppression with progress, because decades ago, right before everybody got assassinated, Martin Luther King, JFK, etc., there really was this awakening. This really was this like, we need to, you know, change these patterns and empower people that were taken away and forced into servitude and all these other things to build the infrastructure of this country. And things looked bright until they didn't. And then, you know, a couple of decades later, it's the economic shifts, AIDS, all of a sudden, like, it just all got suppressed. yet the progress still underground, pressing on consistently. And it's very interesting where it's like, slow, in my opinion, with anything, slow and steady wins the race. As opposed to barreling in like a drunk frat boy collectively, because that's what it is. That's going to put something in somebody's drink. It's very dangerous. It's very dangerous, you know, and perception really needs to be shifted. Like even like yesterday I was teaching, I had one student sort of just harden themselves talking about their laziness. I'm like, that's not laziness. It's resistance. What are you resisting? Don't say it's laziness. Right?
That's
true. Look at it that way because, right? Because then there's more accountability. So it's not like, oh, I'm just like, because then you're just judging yourself and feeling guilty or remorseful, and that's just wasted energy. There's nothing productive about that. The only thing that's productive about that is that it feels so uncomfortable that you need to pivot and do something else. Other than that, it's just really a waste of such valuable energy. And if you, you know, if you don't use the panacea of saying that you're lazy or that you're, you know, filled with guilt or shame or whatever, it would be way more productive to just say, like, okay, I'm in resistance. Why? Doesn't mean you have to take action, but maybe think about that instead of judging yourself and calling yourself, you know, a lazy slob, which does not feel good, but okay, all right, self-compassion. Why am I resisting? Or what am I resisting? And why? And it's usually because your consciousness or your cognitive brain hasn't caught up to the shifts that you're making. So it's like it doesn't make sense. It's incongruent. And sometimes those shifts aren't tangible yet. They haven't hit your linear thought. So it's a much more self-loving and more productive pivot to just ask yourself, what and why am I resisting? As opposed to, I'm lazy, I can't be bothered, I don't want to be. And you still don't need to do anything, but if you just pivot your thought, you would shift a lot quicker, I feel, than just to label and judge yourself as lazy, you know?
Yes. Yes. And I think also we have to acknowledge that even that visual of the pendulum, and that we're experiencing things, a shift from one to the from one to the other. But that pendulum is attached to something, you know. It's still anchored in the same. So you know, we're just seeing things from a different perspective. But we're on that. We're on that. Like we are part of that. So it's not separate from us, although it seems like it's separate from us.
Right. That's why it affects us. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, we're like, it's, you know, like we're just warring against ourselves, ultimately.
Right, right.
So when you can see that it's not different, ultimately, it's just that we are, well, almost like we're seeing ourselves from a different perspective. We're seeing aspects of ourselves from a different perspective. And I guess our ongoing journey in this form is to embrace and integrate all of those parts. I mean, even the ones that are, you know, bratty and throw a tantrum and probably need that love the most. But in that guise, it's hard because there is so much resistance. You know,
yeah, and it's not lovable. Yes.
It's not. And yet our task is to still love ourselves, because that's still us.
That's right. And that's the challenge, to love the unlovable parts of yourself.
Absolutely.
That's the work. That's why sometimes a celibacy tour is necessary. You know? kicking and screaming. But sometimes you just can't be distracted with all the, you know, what are you resisting? I was resisting not looking at myself. I was resisting seeing the pattern of a lifelong pattern of self-abandonment. Is that something to punish myself for? No, it's something to have compassion for myself for. Like, well, of course. Hello, anxious attachment style. Of course. of course. It makes sense. You know, you can count on one hand how many times your parents said they loved you. And that's both of them combined. Hello. Except at the end with my mother, because I was like saying it to her at the end. That doesn't really count because she was like on her way out. But I just mean like growing up or whatever. Never heard it. Never heard it from my siblings. Never heard it from my parents. Just that's seriously. I think I was in my 30s when my mother actually told me she was proud of me because she saw a play I directed. And it was, wow. Hello, it was good. Yeah, I think I was like in my early 30s. I think it was the first time I heard her say she was proud of me.
Yeah,
and maybe that was it. anyway, but that's you work with what you have, you know. It's very interesting. So the guy that I'm seeing, the way we were raised completely, no comparison between the favelas of Brazil and, you know, New York City. Like, no, hello, no comparison. But emotionally, we are wired because never heard I love you either. And it's a thing that, never really heard it. Now, I will say it to my kids, to my friends, consistently, constantly. It's so natural. In relationships, I mean, when I was married, I guess we said it to each other. But maybe not in as a romantic way or whatever. Maybe more like how we would say to the kids or to friends or whatever. I don't even know because I blocked out so much of that. But not anything as a single person. I didn't really feel that for any of the people I was dating. It was never a serious relationship. But I kind of just, without even knowing the reason, because you don't know when you're seeing somebody, you don't know where it's going to go or whatever, you know, you're having your dalliances, your little adventures. And for me, it was an adventure because I was married, for so long, for a good chunk of my life, and I needed to rediscover as I continue to who I am. But I remember saying to myself, you know, especially in the beginning, because you're hopeful, like, oh, like, you don't want to be single dating. I mean, for a minute, yeah. But then after that, it's like, it gets old, and that's why you go on your celibacy tour. But I remember when, you know, in the early days, and you're talking to somebody that you think is cool before you find out how insane they are. And I remember always saying to myself, no matter if I fall in love with anybody, I would never initiate saying I love you. I would never be the person to say it first. It was almost like a vow that I made to myself. And what's so interesting is the guy I'm seeing now, he's the same. It's really funny. We both don't like holidays. Like, it's really it's really funny. And it's like, it's so sacred. I think I said this on the show, that it's like, and then you say, I love you all the time. It's not special. It becomes that stale piece of chewing gum. I think I said this earlier. Stale piece of chewing gum. It loses its flavor. And I'm like, oh, this is so hot not to say that. This is so hot. Although we both slipped separately, we said it like, it's like blurted out, but we said it in Spanish. But like when we were like on FaceTiming, I did it once early on because I say it to my kids and my friends all the time, but I said it in Spanish to him. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I say to my kid, whatever. It's like, yeah, because, you know, whatever. And it wasn't like, oh, I'm in love with him. I'm falling in love with him. I really, really like him. And, yes, am I in love with him? Of course I am. But she's like, you know, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. I know how he feels about me. We both know, but we're not going to say it. You know, but early, I would say like a month, month and a half in, so in Spanish you say te quiero mucho, we're joking around, and I was like, we're getting off the phone, te quiero mucho, and I went, ooh, bye. and I was like, I made a joke of it, and I'm like, yeah, it's slipped out because I say it like all the time that way, you know, it's very lighthearted. It's like when I really like, my care about my friends and, or my kids or whatever, they're going to say, oh, I love you, whatever. And then... like a week ago, we're FaceTiming, and he said, I said, excuse me, what? And I said, did you mean to say that? I said, that just slipped out, right? He goes, yeah. I said, yeah, it's okay. I said, it's cute. I said, that's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Excuse me, what? That's okay. Did I hear you correctly? That's okay. But I think it's not so much, it's like the conversion of the trauma. You know, growing up, he had an incredible, I mean, I look like Paris Hilton compared to how this person, what the life is, the movie, the life that this man had. I mean, I would never disrespect his experience by making any sort of comparison outside of how we're wired emotionally. And it's just very interesting how, thank goodness, it's very mutual because no one's going to feel like, why didn't you say it back? That's not hot, you know. It becomes so stale. Love you, love you, love you, love you. Like I watch, I like reality TV, and I love franchises that explore cultures all over the world. So I love the 90 Day Fiancé franchise because we're in the Philippines. I know the Philippines now. I've been watching the show for years. The Philippines, parts of Colombia, parts of Africa, the Middle East, Turkey, Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Like it's, and you really see like how, like I love it. Like it's a travel show and it's a, you know, trashy reality all in one. You really see what happens culturally, and you just see like, oh my God, I don't want to say it's sad, but the universal need or desire for connection, but how it gets distorted by one's emotional addictions or unformed or undeveloped emotional processes. And then all of a sudden it's the other person's responsibility to make up the difference or to form the deficit of for their lack of wholeness because they're not fully formed because they were not lazy. They were resistant. So that resistance gets projected to the person that's the fiancé, because this is all about getting a spousal visa and going to the States or going to the other country and settling there. So it's so fascinating to me. Girl, it's on Max. If you go to TLC on Max, it's all on there. But anyway, it's all on there. But in all of these shows, the watering down, turning that juicy piece of gum into flavorless nothing. Love you, love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. And it's all coming from insecurity. It's all coming from addiction. It's all coming from not doing the work. It's all coming from massive resistance. There's this, oh my God. So the one that I'm obsessed with is a show called 90 Day the Other Way. And that means the Americans go to the countries. And then I think it's in Nigeria. I think it's in Lagos, Nigeria. There's this chick. I think she's from Kentucky. She's from somewhere. She is so mentally ill. And the gentleman who's so sweet, he's Nigerian, and he's blind.
Oh, man.
And she's staying in the family home that he lives there with his sister and his brother-in-law and their toddler. And this chick is talking about demons and how she had visions of not getting along with someone's sister. And, like, it's just so crazy. And this, she, like, left the home in a huff to stay in a hotel because of not getting along with the sister. But this, it's like, please put her in a psych ward. Like, please put her on a 5150 hold. Please do something. Like, she, and I can't believe that this is being filmed. She has children. They will probably be taken away from her. She has children in America. Three kids. No. This is insane. And the way she turns, you could just see, like, that the she's mentally ill. You see how she shifts in her eyes and how she looks, and then she leaves thinking that he'll come with her. Now, to make things even more complicated, he's extremely religious, like extremely Christian.
Oh.
So he doesn't believe, girl, he does not believe in sex before marriage. Now, they've been talking online in an online relationship for 5 years. Now, I know because of you, my friend, okay, because we have been doing this show for a couple of years before you and I actually met in person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember because now we're doing year 14. It's like it's all going to be a blur. But we had done the show for a couple of years. And then when I went to Atlanta for the first time, that's when we met. And I'm like, oh, wow. I didn't think, like, now I get what people say that they have an online relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember saying that to you and then meeting you in person. And it was like, it was just so natural. And we weren't even, I don't even think FaceTime was a thing back then.
Mm-mm.
Right? I mean, this is years ago, right? Years ago, but I knew for a couple years in, we were doing this podcast and we were so excited to meet each other. We were hanging out like inseparable the whole time. We were doing a show 3 times a week back then and we were very bonded without meeting each other. So I kind of get that. So now, you know, fast forward present time, you got your FaceTime, you got, you know, you got your video call, you got all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, and then if it's emotional connection, it is a form of intimacy. So anyway, she's talking to this lovely young man who happens to be blind from an accident. It's very sad. She's a freaking lunatic. She's talking about demons and the sister and all this stuff causing such a ruckus and chaos in the house. There's a young child there. She storms off, takes all of her shit, throws it in a, you know, gets into a cab, goes into a hotel, and she's just waiting like a crazy person. She is just waiting. She is just waiting. This guy is bugging out, and this is what I'm talking about. It's like the being so starved, whether it's from your childhood, whatever issues we come in with, we get it. He is so starved for that connection. He's devastated because you do go through a withdrawal. That's like withdrawing from heroin when you break up with somebody if you're feeling that attached.
Right.
And he's completely devastated, but he's a really intelligent young man. And like the sister's like, you rolling on the floor over her? You know what I mean? Like, stop. And, you know, because I love his sister. She does not play. So he gets together with a very good friend of him who's partially sighted. They have a very intelligent conversation. And the guy's like, yeah, you're hurting, but you know what? Can you sustain? This chick is crazy. She goes from zero to demonic in three, like, and I'm not exaggerating, in like 3 seconds.
Mm.
And being that this guy is very smart, he's like, no, I can't. I'm going to have to talk to her to end things off, right?
Wow.
So he messages her, I'd like to talk to you. She, all of a sudden, is like, he's going to come over, and he's going to get back together with me, and he's going to leave his family. She goes, she buys lingerie. She's
cool.
Modeling the lingerie on camera. And it has, like, all this texture. She's like, oh, he's really going to like it when he touches. he touches this. And she's just, and that's how the episode ends. She's just waiting, waiting on him like, oh my God. So from a sociological point of view, from an anthropological point of view, from a cultural point of view, I'm freaking hooked. I'm like, right? And all this, I love you, 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 all of a sudden has no meaning. So I find it very attractive. I think it's really hot that it's not a big deal that I don't want to say I love you to this person.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather feel it.
Right.
And not let it turn to a piece of gum that ended up on somebody's unsuspecting shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Because it becomes stale. And it's not really that they love the person, but they love the fix that they're getting, the dopamine hit that they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
But when they don't have that hit, the discomfort, it's all the missing pieces within themselves. But they're not identifying as that they need to take the accountability to go on their celibacy tour and to do the work with it. And that's a lot of people. And then you talk about politically and all of that. That's why there's such disparity, because there's resistance. I'm afraid of what's new, or I'm afraid that these liberals are going to take over everything. So we better just stay with, you know, what Daddy taught me, with America. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. we're going to stay. Sometimes there's a false sense of safety with tradition.
Oh,
you know, and like-mindedness, even if it's abhorrent, right?
Yeah,
I find it fascinating. Fascinating, but it's called 90 Day Fiancé the other way. If you go on Max, you look for the different channels. It's on TLC. It's there. Amazing. It's there. It's very popular. Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes.
I don't know. I might have to take a gander at it, but.
I'm gonna text you a link, girl. Come on. I like to share my shows with you.
Well, our friend Jen is on the line.
Okay, let me pull it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Hello.
I
love you, lady.
Love you.
Say it like you mean it. Say it like you mean it.
Right. I love you. Oh, that's putting through a stale piece of... But like with friends and stuff, it's fresh. It's fresh. It's one of these people. It's like I'm talking about, like, you know, with a partner. But yes, love you. See, that's why he says fresh with your friends. Because it doesn't go left. It's not like I have to harvest your organs so that I can feel whole. Because that's what it is. You're harvesting emotional organs to feel whole. Like, no. You're not going to get on the kidney list. Get the hell out of here.
The kidney list.
No, we're not doing that. No. All right. So the database is up and is there anything you want to say before you pick the card, or you just want to pick it? What do you want to do?
I want to pick a Halloween card.
Ooh.
Oh, see, there you go. Ooh, I love it. All right, I'm ready. I'm ready, yeah. Okay. Oh, that's funny because it's Halloween. The number associated with this message is 622.
Okay.
I think we pulled this in the past, but maybe not. When in doubt as to how to proceed, always start with finding opportunities to express and offer love no matter what, and especially when in fear. So for those of you trick-or-treating, just, you know, find opportunity. Know which door to knock on, and you'll be fine. Okay, I'll read it again. When in doubt as how to proceed, always start with finding opportunities to express and offer love, no matter what, and especially when in fear. And I really like that, where to make love the default setting as opposed to fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is often masked as anger. where love is love, and that's always, you know, light. Lightness. 622.
Well, there's your six again, my friend. Starting off with that
six. Right. Gem with the sixes, yep.
Just get that out of the way, just so you know. Yeah, default setting, love, six. And then the two, we have two of the twos, and it's a 2-2. You should wear it well. The two then is saying this is how you are going to be able to connect both within and without, so higher self to self. And then that self, either of those two, hopefully from the higher to another. And so it forms like a cross. This is what I'm looking at with this six. It's a, you know, the two and the two form this cross. If you look at the horizontal being, you know, the connection to others, and then the vertical being the connection to self, higher self. And so this helps with your, I guess the best way to put it is that if you start off with a six, then that is what you're wanting to share, and that's also what you want to receive. And then when you look at all of this, it ends up being a one, which is still about self. I know, so now that's the total all of you, self, higher and lower. And it also gives you this direction to, you know, go, to say, go forth in love. So this is what you do that. And given the context, the message, it is to, exactly as Liz says, to do that and have the default setting, have the core be what you know to be true, what you know who you are. And because it is under the layers of the fear and the resistance and all the hurt, all the stuff that you've been working through is still that core of love, of who you are. And when we can get to that, kind of bypass at some point, not even have to bypass because you've just been doing the work. But I think even as we do the work, if we're able to, you know, get the help that we need and have, you know, mentors and teachers and things like that, therapists, however it may be, you have a community also under the realm of the six that helps you see, you know, the core of who you are isn't all the faults that you think you have. It's still that lovingness, that love that is within, that is just looking to get out, to be expressed and to be received. And then also for you to receive that as well. And maybe that's like the quality of what we can receive is only as good as the quality of what we've been able to do from within. So every time you've made a big breakthrough and all the pain that goes with that, all the awkwardness, it's opened up just that much more so that when another situation comes up, a person, you're able to see that being reflected back to you. And it's easier to receive in the light of a compassionate eye is the phrase I'm getting, a compassionate eye, because chances are that person may not have done exactly the same things that you've had to do, but has had to go through that too, that uncovering, you know, of self. And to get rid of all those layers means getting rid of that resistance, getting rid of things that we're so used to having, even though it's dysfunctional because we don't see it that way yet. But when we do, it's like, ooh, you know, we really need to make those choices and take the chance, take the chance on love, take the chance that the core of each person is still there, and that we have done and have continued to do the work to see it and to feel it and to acknowledge it with ourselves first. But when it shows up in another person and that tentative, like, okay, are they really crazy or what? Then you're able to open it up. You still go past like our old default setting of fear into our new default setting and probably our original default setting of love. So I think that's a really cool message. Super cool.
Yes, I do too. Yep.
It is, and it really reflects what Liz was saying earlier about forgiving yourself for not moving. It's because a lot of the times it's fear-based, and if they move into love, and love of themselves more than anything else, that's when you're able to, you know, get back on track.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Can you send
thank you.
Send that one to me? That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I sure will.
Yeah.
So what would you, so I have a suggestion for your Halloween costume, Jen.
Okay.
Borrow somebody's wedding ring and you could be happily married. So when I was married, so my joke was when I was married, I would take off my wedding ring and a bunch of costumes. I'm a single mother. So now that I'm a single mother, my costume is borrow somebody's ring. What's your costume? Happily married. Anyway.
That's funny.
My costume. Oh, no, honey. I am not putting any paper jack-o'-lanterns on my door so the children knock on my door. No, honey. I don't want to talk to you. No, you're not coming to my house tonight. Nope. My kids are older. Nope. Yep. Nope. Go away.
Well, you put a,
I'm doing it.
You put a bowl out that says help yourself, and then anyone that comes just thinks that someone else stole them all.
No, not in my building. I'm
you
not doing that in my building. This is yours.
Put it out.
Just
girl,
put it
up to your
house. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Oh, God. Okay. Now that's funny. That's funny. Yeah. That is funny. No, I used to be into it, but I'm like, no, I don't care. No. Leave me alone. Go away. That's funny. No. And they celebrate Halloween today in Canada, do they? Is that
It's an It started in Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, there you go. See how much I know. So, that's the thing. Oh, it's funny. So how are you, Jen, since we have you on the line?
I'm good. I've got therapy today. I'm getting my roots dyed right after that.
Oh,
then I sit outside with my neighbor and have drinks and hand out stuff.
Fun.
We don't get a lot of kids. But it's warm here, so it's fine.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's great. And since you're on the phone, what's going on with the fence? You know what I'm talking about. Because the last time we talked, how's the fence doing? Are we on it? Are we on the other side of it? What's going on?
We're still on it. We're still on it. My therapist says, here's what she says. She likes to get everyone thinking about stuff. She's like, well, she says, why, if you're not 2 feet in, why are you doing this? I said, because
I didn't hear that. She said, if you what?
She says,
what
if you're not 2 feet in, why are you doing this?
Oh.
And wow. I said, because I talk to people, and the pickings are slim out there. Not that there's nothing wrong with my male friend. It's, we have fun together. I enjoy our time together. I'm not at my age looking for the one. I'm happy being alone. The one.
No, forget looking for the one. The one, it has to just show up and then you get, like, surprised.
Right.
You know, that's not the end game, and to your point, and just what we were talking about before we took your call, like, it's the addiction piece. I have to look for the one because that's going to bypass me doing my work, and that's why it always falls apart, because it's you're doing everything externally. So, yeah, I'm with you. So it's not about looking for the one because you're fine being on your own, right?
Right. Right.
Interesting.
So, I don't know. I think in terms of I'm fine with going to the therapist to clear up all the money issues and everything like that. But I don't necessarily, I don't think that I'm, because I'm not choosing the same person over and over again. And I think you only really learn about yourself by being in a relationship. So
yes.
I don't necessarily think what I'm doing is wrong.
No.
But
say that.
Apparently there's going to be a difference of opinions, and she's entitled to her opinion. And
so she's,
you know,
wrong. That's
am I sabotaging myself? It's up to her. Like, if she can have her judgment, this is fine.
Okay.
I'm not necessarily, I'm going to take it with a grain of salt, but I think she, with the other stuff, I think I would rather deal with my mommy issues, because that's about healing me, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, all of it. And then it redefines the shape of your relationship. So if anything, it's like the shape of this relationship, because you can't do all or nothing. Get rid of it, move on. Listen, if you're smart, you're self-reliant, he lives in another country, but on the border, you know, close but not too close. You like your time on your, and I'm with you on all, like, I like that this guy lives in Jersey. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm glad he's not around the corner. You know? So we like, again, as deep thinkers and just being, having a spiritual vocabulary, and the veil is thin, we need to be off on our own so we could be out there in all the insanity. And then when we get together with our paramours, then that's this little portal of connection, and then that goes away, and then you're on your own again. You know, I like dipping in and dipping out,
right.
You know? Like, I don't need to have, please don't live with me. You know, I already live with two men. I'm good. Like, please don't live with me. Like,
right.
No, I don't need to be taking care of more people. Like, I'm good. So I really align with that part of it. However, if you are on a journey of self-discovery, that will automatically reflect in the strength or the weakness of the connection that you have with this person. So what I feel is going on is that it's not so much about him, but him being included in the outward picturing of your inner growth and your evolution and your self-development and self-knowledge. That charge will either become reinforced and strengthened or weakened. And I feel the charge very incrementally is becoming weaker as your sense of self and healing in these other areas, like your mother, finances, all these other things that you feel the therapist is really helping and supporting you with, it will all be reflected. And I think it will just kind of take care of itself, because it's your frequency is what's shaping your desires and the choices that are motivated by those desires. You know, it's like when you can love a particular food your whole life, then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I don't like this anymore. And that happens once in a while. Or this food that I used to eat all the time, it doesn't agree with me all of a sudden. And maybe because it's a lower vibrational food and you become, you're less dense, you're more etheric, and therefore it doesn't agree with you. So again, it's like the density converting to the etheric. And maybe this guy's energy is a little denser than yours, and as you're accelerating through your journey of self-knowledge, and you have all these components, your household, your kids, your life, your job, your childhood trauma, all those things, is it going to continue the path of lightness, or is an energy going to weigh you down? That's why people outgrow each other in marriage and they get divorced. And it's not even so much, yeah, you can label it like, oh, we don't get along, or this person's mean, or this, but it's really a reflection of who are you today? Because we're constantly, as our cells are replicating and shifting and renewing themselves, so are we. None of it's separate. So I think this is going to be like, you know how a wound heals and then the scab falls off? I think when the scab falls off, the scab falls off. I mean, that's a terrible metaphor to use for a relationship, but that's what came in my head.
Hi, Scab.
That's terrible. But in a way, doesn't it kind of make sense? Because the scab is protective. The wound is not, but think about it. The wound is not, wound is not ready to be exposed to the air or to the elements. So it's a protective shield. So, it's a twisted metaphor, but listen, I just report what comes in the teleprompter in my mind. And with you, that's what came up. And maybe those are terms that make perfect sense to you. I don't know. Because you're an odd duck. Maybe that's it. You know, you're an odd duck Canuck. She's a duck Canuck. I don't know, Jen. It's interesting. But when a therapist is going to kind of put it in those terms, like, why are you doing this, whatever, it kind of feels a little, I mean, no shade to her, it feels a little judgy, not really getting to the marrow. And I think the marrow of this is like, you're just really paying attention to how you feel, and you're just taking it moment to moment, but you don't have to make any decisions or anything. But like the part that's, you know, very tender and it's newly formed is being protected by that protective covering, which could be this connection right now, because everybody leads you to where you're becoming. You know, even the situations I was in that were unsafe, or, you know, the people that really made me look at my self-abandonment issues by default, or that I became a robot and less than a human being emotionally starved for a marriage and, you know, not even connecting with my feminine self, all those things, and then needing to be on my own for almost a year and a half, not looking for anyone, but just trying to really gain understanding and to really go to those deep, deep, dark places that I had a tremendous amount of resistance for, which is why I was like on a merry-go-round of situationships for a minute. And then I had to, you know, I had to be in a very unsafe situation to just slap myself out of that addiction, that resistance to really looking, and just to take all that off my plate, not even wanting anything with anybody. And knowing that you can't hide anymore. So, I think if I was your therapist, I'd be like, girl, I get it. Just pay attention. You know? I would just pay attention, you know? And as long as you feel safe to a degree that works with you, with this person, you don't live together. You know, I might say something different if you were living together, right? But you don't. So you have so many boundaries already in place and safety measures already in place. You know, like, how often do you see each other? It's like, it's not all the time, right?
Well, a lot less now.
Interesting.
Because, you know, I've got lots of friends. I've got a cat. You know, there's stuff that I need to do on weekends. So I'll go over, because he doesn't come here because he can't. So I'll go over, but it's when it's convenient for me. So
there you go. That's a perfect response. So the boundaries are in place. And look at God, or whatever you want to call it. Like, he can't cross the border. So hello, talk about a literal. You can't get more literal than a boundary. A freaking border. Look at the boundaries. Look at what you manifested during this healing time of self-understanding. You know what I mean? You know, and you know, it's debatable how long this is going to last, because, you know, I think you have, in my opinion, it's just my opinion, I think you have one butt cheek on the fence and you have the other one off. You got one cheek on, one cheek off. I'm sorry. That's what I'm seeing right now. But you know what? It is what it is. But you got that border right there. So you're writing this book. Mm-hmm. You know, this is your script, your book, and that's great actually that you got that border. I mean, it doesn't get more boundary than that. Very interesting. And then the way you talked about, you have your friends, your cats, you're just you're basically like the energy with you talking about that versus the energy with this person. It's like this person is serving such a helpful function, but, and it's not about the one, it's about your path of discovery. And sometimes, you know, you have one teacher for a couple semesters and then you switch to another teacher. And you, girl, you might be switching teachers. I'm just saying, but, you know, I'm not saying. I'm just sort of saying you might be, you know, you might be graduating to, you know, another grade. But it doesn't even matter. So on that note, always love when you can call in when you're not rushing to work. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Thank you.
Yes, we love you so much. I love it. Yeah, stay on the other side of the boundary. Stand on the border side. If any of you need to get a hold of us, you can send an email to loablend@gmail.com. We are scheduled to be back on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Please take very tender care of yourselves and each other. If you have kids trick-or-treating, please be careful. And as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Love you.
Love you.
Bye.